1039 WDKX, the Wake Up Club. Valencia Metcalf joins us now. For those that may have missed this story, Valencia, I'd rather you tell this story of what happened. You had just gotten back from being overseas in Italy, right?
Yes, sir.
And so,
good morning.
Good morning. And so you and your son went to Italy, just came back, just before the news of this whole coronavirus came out, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what happened after that?
Well, good morning, everyone. I took my son to Italy for February recess. He and my mom went for vacation. And, excuse me, I have just finished dealing with the school. So he is doing well now. But we came home, and we had no signs and no symptoms of the coronavirus. In fact, they had not. We were there for the carnival. We found out once we left the carnival that they had shut it down in Venice, but it was actually supposed to be in northern Italy. We never got word that it was in Rome, which is where we were most of our time. So once we went to Rome, we went to Venice, we went to Napoli and Pompeii. And so it wasn't in Rome, Napoli, or Pompeii, but apparently it came to Venice after we left. Once we got back, we had no signs, no symptoms. And so I went back to work. He went to school. Everything was back to normal for about almost a week. And then he had sniffles on that Friday. And so the school said, you know, Valencia, he's got sniffles. Should we be concerned? We know he just got back from Italy. And I said, well, he has allergies. I don't have any concerns. He has no other symptoms. And they said, okay, well, if he has no other symptoms, we're not going to worry about it. And I called a pediatrician. I said, he has sniffles, and let them know. And they said, do you have any other symptoms? If he has any other symptoms, no one had any other symptoms. And they said, well, that's not a concern. I said, okay. So we continued to move on as usual. The following week, once my supervisors and those involved in infection control at the state found out, they said, you know, we need to take precautions and pull you out. Let's get a note from your doctor. And I said, okay. And so I went out of work, and I called my doctor. The doctor didn't have any information. They said, why are we giving your doctor's note? We don't know what's wrong. You have no symptoms. Mm. So I said, okay, well, I need to at least be cleared because I work in the population I work in, and I want to make sure my son is okay and everything else. So they said, okay. So we went around for 2 days going back and forth. What part of Italy were you in? What symptoms do you have? You know, we don't want to call you in. So they didn't want to see us. They didn't want to see me. And there was no need actually to see me at that point in time. But we went back and forth with questions. They were going through the health department. We were going through the state health department. Everybody's kind of figuring it out. In my mind, this was kind of the case that they were using as an example because no one quite knew how to handle it. And again, there were no symptoms. So I didn't even have a fever, cough, or anything. So project another three days later, Zion gets a fever Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And so the school says, okay, Zion has a fever. Zion comes home. He has a fever of 100.5. At that point in time, that's when I got nervous. And I called the doctor. Mm-hmm. Again, I said, now he has a fever. You know, we've been to Italy. He has his asthma and he has allergies. So we need to be seen. And they're like, we're not going to see him. And I said, okay. I mean, that was like her first word. I said, well, we've been to Italy and now he has a fever. You said to get the fever, let you know. They said, yeah, just kind of monitor him and see how he's doing. And I'm like, what?
Wait. Let me stop you there. After you came back with the symptoms they said they needed for you to call them back, they didn't direct you to go to a hospital. They didn't direct you to go or call another number.
No.
What did they do?
No. They told me to just kind of monitor him, see how he's doing. Does he have any other symptoms? And I said, no other symptoms. He had a fever, and then later he started coughing. I said, okay, now he's coughing with the fever. So, and they're like, okay. So nothing else. What is his fever? And I said, I don't have a thermometer at the moment, but I know he's warm and he has 100.5 already. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, now I'm kind of like, okay, what do we do? Yeah. So I'm now trying to work with his fever. And of course, whenever he gets the fever, he then has, you know, his asthma acts up. So I'm working with him at this point. And honestly, no one was kind of nervous because the doctors are still like, well, there's nothing really major. You have no symptoms. My mom had absolutely no symptoms. But we're just kind of staying, you know, low at this point. But after this fever, now I'm nervous. And I have to be honest, I got even more nervous because now you're hearing more news about the coronavirus. You're hearing Italy's been shut down. And I said, okay, so now I'm kind of pushing. We need to have him seen. I'm not even concerned still at the point for me. I'm concerned for him because he has a fever. So they're scrambling. We'll call you back. We'll figure out what to do. They're trying to call the health department. We're calling the state department. We have now been given the infection control hotline. I was told by the infection control hotline that, well, I'm not a patient, so they don't really have a way to do anything for me because we're not a patient there.
All right. So let me ask you a question, though. After that, how many other people did you call before they actually gave you and everybody around you a test?
I called so many people, I can't even tell you. Probably at least about, probably 20 or 30 people. I say because at this point now, people that know that I went to Italy are calling me as well. And they're like, okay, have you done anything? And I was actually starting to get ready to go. I was planning to go petition. You know, we're in the campaign season. I was planning to go petition for folks. And one of my good friends said, no, you better not do that since you've been in Italy just in case. And I said, well, now that he has a fever, that's not a good idea anyway. So I called a doctor back. To this day, let me just say this, I have still not spoken to his pediatrician. Wow. I have called several times. I'm actually going to call when I get off the phone again. This morning I was dealing with the school. And I want to just step back and say I am very grateful for the principal. I can't think of Jeff's last name, but the principal at Odyssey School, the district, they have been good. They have checked on him daily. His teachers have checked on him. They welcomed him today, you know, at the door. They welcomed him, gave him hugs. He was so excited. They said, we love you. We're happy to have you back, and we're glad that you're healthy. You know, so I was concerned about the aftermath of having, once I put his picture on, I think that was, I allowed them to use the pictures. I will say that. And I was not thinking of how detrimental that could have been afterwards. I was concerned at the fact that here we are hearing all this about this epidemic. We're a potential case and we cannot get tested.
You know what? I have to say, you know, thank goodness, first of all, it's negative. For those that be, but what happened? Yeah. What happened? He's negative, and that's good. But that's got to be in the moment in time,
right?
Frightening because no one's listening to you. You're listening to them, but they're not listening to you. Thankfully, everything came out negative, and you were able to keep your head through that, because I know a lot of people would have lost it in that situation.
Right.
Well, I think I have to say, I think I could have done better at the very end when I allowed it to go to the media. But at that point, I was frustrated, and I literally said, okay, I'm on the phone. I'm one hand on the phone with the media, and I'm calling politicians saying, where are we testing folks? That's when I found out that there was a testing site at Jordan Health Center. But I literally said to the one last nurse that I spoke to at the health department, called me back. Let me just go back a bit. So I called the health department. I called the COVID hotline. I called the infection control. I called Dr. Mendoza's office. I was actually told from his office that they can only give me so much direction because I was not his patient. And that frustrated me as well. That's when I really said, okay, let me keep going, because I called Assemblyman Bronson's office. I literally was like, someone needs to help me get someone on this phone to call me and give me a test.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I'm glad everything sort of worked out, but that is quite the story. And you know, I have to say this, you know, it's the end of the story, but it shouldn't be. After this is all said and done, you know, maybe procedures need to change a little bit better and more communication mm-hmm. with pediatricians and CDC and health department, so that all the information that gets out the right way.
I agree. And that was my main point. So let me say, from this, I did learn a lot of things that are being put in place. And I understand and respect privacy and that, you know, a lot of things can't be stated. However, when you're in this position, I don't want to hear what can't be told. I'd rather hear a negative report, because at this point, if I send him, I'm not sending him back to school with a fever, obviously. So those that are sitting around saying, she sent him to school when he was sick, we had no symptoms. I had none when I went to work. He had none when he went to school. Once the symptoms were there, there was no exposure to other children. So let me just make sure I say that. That is not something that I was willing to do. This was not a call for attention. This was a call to make sure what are the policies in place and to ensure that those that were able, that were exposed potentially, got the help that they needed. So what I want to say is for those who are also complaining that, well, you know, some people came from Italy and got immediately tested. There's a difference with that. There's a lot of HIPAA laws that are surrounding this, and I chose to allow my face to get out there, good or bad, after the fact. But what I want to say is some of those people came immediately back from Italy with signs and symptoms. In fact, one person I was told was actually sick when they returned. So, of course, they was willing to test them. There's a limit. From my understanding, there's a limited amount of the testing materials right now. I think that might be one of the problems. So they're not willing to test someone who's asymptomatic. And at that point in time, to us, to them, we were. So I actually was, I finally got a call back from the doctor that they would see me, and they told me to come in the back door. We had all these procedures we were going to follow. And I said, okay. They literally started calling me back with excuse after excuse. And once they saw me outside about 15 minutes prior to 7 p.m., they called me and said, we've changed our mind. We're not going to see you. We don't think that that's going to be a good idea. That's when I went in extra high alert, because if you think that he's unsafe to come into your office and you're putting me in the back door using hazmat suits and everything else, then you're now telling me that you think that there's a possibility he's been exposed, and I need to make sure I am adequate about this testing.
I thank you for calling in and sharing your story, but there's a lot to be answered after all of this is done. Thank goodness you and your son and your family are okay. Yeah. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Yeah,